Get your Bibles out tonight, Exodus chapter 3. We're going to read another portion of Scripture tonight. Between singing and teaching and preaching, and man, my voice is just feels like it's trying to play catch-up. So we'll do our best here tonight. Exodus chapter number 3. I love those, remember Paul Harvey, the rest of the story? And we used to like those. And hearing where those stories come from and what that's all about. I have a video saved that is the story of Silent Night, how that came to be. I think it's a 50-minute video that I'm interested in watching and seeing that. Please be in prayer for Miss Renee Primer. Where's Brother Primer? What do you need? You need me to turn around? All right. Where's Brother Primer? He's here around here somewhere. All right. He's watching the door to make sure no crazies come in. Brother Primer, give us an update on Miss Renee. She's got pneumonia. She's through her medicine or has a little bit more?
She still has several more days of medicine.
Yep.
She gets tired quite often.
Yeah.
But she's getting better day by day.
That's a blessing. Amen.
It's a rough road for her. We got out last night, come by here and see the lights, but that kind of wiped her out.
Yeah. Yeah, we sure do miss her. You're going back to work tomorrow. Is there something we could do for your family? Anybody want to make the Primers dinner tomorrow night? All right, we got the Bucks. Tuesday night, you're at work Tuesday too?
Yes.
All right, when do you guys leave? Maybe.
Thursday.
All right, can I get a family to make them dinner? All right, sounds good. We got the Seatmans on Tuesday. All right, so you got dinner for a couple nights. All right, there you go. All right. We love the Primers and praying for them. A friend of ours next Sunday night will be with us, Brother Glisson. Remember Brother Glisson?
Yeah.
The Glissons will be with us next Sunday night. Say, is he preaching? No, he's just showing up. And they got friends in town or family at Horseheads. And you all had made such an impression on them that they just wanted to be back around us. And they were so encouraged by our young people and our church that they really felt connected and loved. And so he asked, he said, is it okay if we? Absolutely. So make sure you're here next Sunday night. Be encouragement to the Glissons. I had one more thing. Hold on. Primer Glissons. Oh, yes. Next Sunday night, I'd like to do this as we conclude our year for in the Word of God. Take some testimonies next Sunday night about not just what you read maybe in the scriptures that week, but maybe something the Lord taught you about His Word or taught you through His Word this year. And we'd like to take some testimonies about His Word next Sunday night. So if you could be here for that, that would be great. All right, Exodus chapter 3, in verse 1. We're going to read 1 through 14, maybe 15. Exodus chapter 3, in verse 1. Please follow along as I read and really draw our attention to verses 13 and 14, but we'll read the entire passage. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of the bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush, and he said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. One of the best abilities we can have is availability to the Lord. We know that. And he said, draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows, he says. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land unto a good land, and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, and the place of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come upon unto me. And I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppress them. Come now therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And Moses said unto God, Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, Certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. And Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, The God of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, What is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. God said moreover unto Moses, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, The Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob hath sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this passage. Thank you again for how you reveal yourself about yourself to us. Thank you for perfectly preserving your word in our lap here tonight. Lord, I pray that as we study your scriptures again, that we would not just gain more knowledge, but a heart's desire to serve you, the God of heaven and earth. Lord, bless the lesson here tonight. May it be a help and encouragement as we go cover to cover through your word tonight. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20. We'll go back to Exodus chapter 3. I'd like to read a shorter passage here. Then we'll jump over to Exodus chapter 34. Read but a few verses and then get into our lesson. Exodus chapter 20. We're familiar with Exodus chapter 20. These are what we call the Ten Commandments. We're going to read the first three commandments, verses 1 through 7. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. And in chapter 3, we read about how he talked about that's what he was going to do. And by Exodus chapter 20, 17 chapters later, that's exactly what he did. I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Verse 3, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Verse 4, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord your God, I am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Verse 7, we'll stop here. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, For the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Go with me over to Exodus chapter 34. Exodus chapter 34 and verse 5. We'll read 5 through 8 together. Well, I'll read as you follow along. I do appreciate we don't normally read lengthy passages like this, but it does set a tone for what we're going to be looking at tonight. And I feel like it's valuable and worthwhile. I was telling real quick, Sam and I were talking about it last Sunday night, and just we were just getting onto this road out here, and I said, you know, I liked how we read those long passages. And you know, sometimes we read through our scriptures, and it talks about where, you know, Ezra stood and he read all the law. And you think, oh man, that would take forever, and I don't know if I would, you know, read. But then when you start reading God's word in lengthy passages, it just brings a power and a volume of it that sometimes you miss when you're just reading a chapter or half a chapter or something like that. So reading these things together, I thought, man, wouldn't it be neat to just start to finish if we read the Bible one day? You know, I don't know how that would work. I don't know how many hours that would take. It would probably take a while. But Exodus chapter 34. There was a bug crawling on my Exodus 34. Sorry. Exodus 34 and verse 5. And the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children unto the third and to the fourth generation. And Moses made haste and bowed his head toward the earth and worshipped. Here we see again in verse 5, and proclaimed the name of the Lord. Tonight we're going to be looking at the name Jehovah. When you, this is a very, what I would consider a almost inexhaustible study. Say why? Because over 6,000 times does the word Jehovah show up in your Old Testament. To study each passage out and to get the fullness is truly just to read the scriptures. As we look in our Bible, the word Jehovah means self-existent one. In our Bible, only 4 times does the word Jehovah actually show up. But when we read our scriptures, remember last week we read Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God. And that was Elohim, that was our creator. But here, as we read through these passages, as we read and just looking at Exodus chapter 34 and verse 5, and the Lord, notice that the word Lord is all capital letters. Capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. That is a reference to Jehovah. That's how, whenever you see that, that would have been the Hebrew word Yahweh. It's interesting when you look at that. Yahweh actually is 4 characters, none of which are vowels, which is interesting. To have a word with no vowels. And for years, the Jews considered the name Jehovah almost too sacred to even say out loud. So when God, again, understanding that, let's go back to the significance of Exodus chapter 3. When God reaches out to, well, is in the burning bush there, and Moses gives attention to it, and he goes to that, and he says, how am I going to convince them? What am I going to say? Tell them the I am sent. That was a powerful phrase. Some would not even, the word was the, let me try this again. The word Jehovah would be the most holy word to Israel. It's the most holy name of God. So when God tells Moses, say the I am sent you, I'm not allowed to say that. Well, I sent you, and you can. It means, again, self-existent one. It means eternal, unchangeable. Let's look at some verses about that. Isaiah chapter 43. Isaiah 43 and verse 10. Ye are my witness, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. I, even I, am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. Those are powerful words. God is self-existent. He doesn't need us. He's self-sufficient. He's self-existent, though. He always has been. And that is a very difficult concept for me. I believe it, but it's hard for me to comprehend it. There was no one before me. And I can understand creating something to make it last forever, but to have always been gone. I can't. But I read this and I go, okay, that's who you are. God always has been. God always, here's the jump. God always has been, and we say God always will be. But God, there's something in the middle. God always is. No matter where we're at, we know that He's been there. He will be there, but He is here right now. It's a combination of words, again, much like we saw last week, Jehovah, but Hava is the second half of the word there. It means to be, right? But it also means to become, as in becoming known, revealing Himself to us. God's got to teach us about Him. And He says, that's Jehovah. That's what I do. This is God revealing Himself to the creation. Oftentimes the word Jehovah, and you'll hear this, and we'll get into these in the future weeks, often paired with a second name. Jehovah Rapha, meaning our healer. Jehovah Nisi, our banner. Jehovah Jireh, our provider. Jehovah Shalom, meaning the God of peace. Jehovah Shammah, our present help. The first time this word shows up, Jehovah, Genesis chapter 2. Go there, please. Again, my desire is that we would learn something about the Lord, but that would propel us to serve Him with all of our heart, with all of our life, every single resource that we have. Genesis chapter 2. If you have a Scofield Bible, how many of you have a Scofield Bible tonight? Great, okay. If you look at these two pages, there's not a lot of text on your pages. These two pages down here all talk about the Jehovah name. I recommend maybe in your time, again, we are, as Brother Parrott would say, I don't know if he's on tonight, we are just not even the tip of the iceberg with this stuff. There is so much about the Lord in our Word. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 4. These are the generations of heavens and of earth when they were created. In the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. That's the first time Jehovah shows up in your Bible. That's the first time capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D shows up. And it's paired with our Elohim. So this is Jehovah Elohim. I said this last week, but let me as clear as I can be. In no way am I correcting the English. I think we have God's perfect word here. But in understanding some of these words behind, it just gives us a little deeper meaning, all right? I'm not going to the Greek and Hebrew for a better, it just defines it. We translate it as Lord, and the translators were careful enough to distinguish to us where Jehovah shows up, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. And maybe you never even noticed that. Say, it just says Lord. There's actually capital L and then small o, small r, small d. Say, what is that? That's different. That's master. That's master. So when the Pharisees called him Lord, they weren't calling him Jehovah. They were just calling him master, teacher. That's significant later on. So here, the first time this shows up, again, paired with Elohim, the self-existent creator. First use. Look at this verse in Nehemiah chapter 9. Ezra, Nehemiah 9. Ezra, or Nehemiah chapter 9. Self-existent, unchangeable, has been, always is, and always will be. That's Jehovah. Nehemiah chapter 9 and verse 6. Thou, even thou, art Lord alone. See there, capital L-O-R-D. Thou hast made heaven, heaven of heavens, with all their hosts, the earth, and all the things that are therein, the seas and all that is therein. Thou preservest them all. And the host of heaven worshipeth thee. We see it again tied with creation, his power. If we go back to Exodus chapter 3, God calls Moses from the burning bush to lead the children of Israel out. And I want to look at a couple of those verses and then we'll move on to something else. Exodus chapter 3 and verse 11. We've read these verses, but I would like to go back to them. Moses wanted to know what to say to the Israelites when asked about God's name in verse 11. And Moses said unto God, who am I that I should go out unto Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And God said in verse 14, and God said unto Moses, and this is going to be important later. He says, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am has sent me unto you. Hebrews chapter 13. A little more of a Bible study style, and we're going back and forth. I told you we would be going from cover to cover tonight. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have, for he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Isn't that a great verse? That means he always is with us. I am. Yeah, but what about when I am? Always present tense. Always there. Okay, if this is where I live, this is the future, we know you're going to be in the future, how about 500 billion years ago? I am. Okay, how about 500 billion years before that? I am. Yesterday, I am. Tomorrow, I am. He always is. There's not a time that he isn't. As we looked at Exodus chapter 20, go with me back to Exodus chapter 20. Look at verse 3. The Bible says, We use this word jealous. Jealous is a very negative word, right? I'm jealous of Teddy's camo shirt. Wish I had one. Wish I could fit into it. There's a lot of things about that right now. All right. And we look at that and what is that? That's envious of wanting something that somebody else has, right? We're jealous. When we are jealous, that's a sin. As we read back through Exodus chapter 20, verses 3 through 6, thou shalt have no other gods before me, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. Why is that? Because in verse 5, thou shalt not bow down thyself to them nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God. He wants all of our worship. Being the only true and living God, God wants you to love and serve Him with all your hearts. He says in verse 6, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. It is not out of line for God to desire our worship and praise. And He gets jealous when He doesn't get it. Say, that's a sin. Not for God, because He truly does deserve it. Exodus chapter 34. We were there, but we're going to look at a latter verse. Exodus chapter 34, look at verse 14. Exodus 34, 14. For thou shalt worship no other god. Little g. You see? See, the Bible is very particular about wording. For thou shalt worship no other god. For the Lord, capital L-O-R-D, whose name is jealous, is a jealous God. Jehovah God, the self-existent one, desires our worship, deserves our worship. Isaiah chapter 42. Isaiah 42. Isaiah 42 and verse 8. I am the Lord. I am the Lord. That is my name. So now when we read that, it has a little more power. It has a little more something behind that. I am the Lord. That is my name. He just said, I'm the most holy thing around. And my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. I read an article, man, it must have been a couple months back. God had a wife, was the name of the article. I thought it was a joke. I've heard of Jesus, you know, they tried to tie Mary to Jesus, Mary Magdalene, and you know, I've heard that nonsense before. But God? No verse, just a thought. God was married. And we should worship His wife just as much as God. According to the Scriptures, if we're just going to be truthful, He says, and my glory will I not give to another. No. No, that's wrong. God doesn't share. We had our neighbors, super nice, a couple doors down today, stopped over at the house and brought us a plate full of Christmas cookies. They were good, yes? Different kinds. Lots of different kinds. They were all fantastic. But there weren't seven of each. So, as one came out, and we would just be like, oh, that's so good. Okay, give me a bite of that one. And you give me a bite of that one. We all shared. Say, were you worried about Corona? No, they were that good. They were just that good. God doesn't look around and go, all right, you know what? Okay, on Saturday you can go do that, but I want Sunday. I want rights on Sunday. My parents got divorced when I was young. And we had different days that we went with different parents. God doesn't share. All right, you can worship that one on Tuesday, but Sunday's my day. Sunday I have, no, the Bible says, and my glory will I not give to another. Because God is holy. Leviticus chapter 11 tonight. We're on to page 2. I hope this is... I hope it's not dry for you. I hope as you look at these things, it encourages your heart. So oftentimes when talking with people, they're a Christian, but they don't know the Lord. Told you that last week, how my Bible Institute professor, his final was, who is God? You can't answer that unless you know Him. All too often, we get so wrapped up in ourselves that we fail to consider God. In Leviticus chapter 11 and verse 45, it says, "For I am the Lord that bringeth you up out of the land of Egypt," Leviticus 11:45, "to be your God. Ye shall therefore be holy," He says, "for I am holy." That's what God desires from us. Exodus 15, the same. 1 Samuel chapter 2, go there. 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 2. So David went up thither. No, hold on. Wait, that's 2 Samuel. I'm like, that makes no sense. 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 2. "There is none holy as the Lord. For there is none beside thee, neither is there any rock like our God." God is holy. Psalm 145. The great preacher D.L. Moody wasn't a highly educated man. He actually was a shoe salesman. His Sunday school teacher led him to Christ, and the and someone brought up his lack of education. He responded with this thought. He said, "All I do is know the God of the Bible, and I think that's enough." Here tonight, I would like to encourage you that in our study of God, that's a good use of our time, good use of our thoughts. Psalm 145 and verse 17, "The Lord is righteous in all His ways and holy in all His works." Our God is a holy God. Which leads us to the next thought. He hates sin, but He loves sinners, which only God can differentiate between the two. I was talking this morning a little bit about committing crimes, and that's what you get labeled as, and it's tough for us to see anything other than that. If you've ever been lied to by somebody, you will forever associate that person with being a liar. I remember the Irondequoit Mall? We lived about 3 blocks away from the Irondequoit Mall. And when it opened up, I was in my young teenage years, and we would just walk up, and we would walk through the whole place, back and forth, up and down, and ride the carousel, and go in a little arcade, and just had a great time. I remember being in there, and watching a guy steal something from a store. I watched him take something, put it in his jacket, and walked right out. And I saw his face. Years later, I was working at Wegmans in Irondequoit, and I saw that man. It was only separated by maybe 4 or 5 years. And I thought, that guy's a thief. But yet somehow God is able to take our sin and separate it from us. That holy, righteous God that has seen it all, because he always is somehow able to separate that sin from the sinner. Psalm 103. In verse 8, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. Verse 10, he hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. Verse 12, as far as the east is from the west, so hath he removed our transgressions from us. We just studied that God is holy. He's powerful, and yet God is somehow able to separate our sins from us. Which brings us to the next step and our final step in our study tonight. I'd like you to look at Psalm 102. You should be close. Psalm 102 in verse 25. Now follow me with this thought here, please. Psalm 102 and verse 25. Of old hast thou laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thy hands. Read verse 26. They shall perish, but thou shalt endure. Yea, all of them shall wax old like a garment. As a vesture shalt thou change them, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall have no end. A truth about the Lord. Now I want you to go with those verses. I know those aren't familiar verses with us, but again, of old hast thou laid the foundation of the earth. Okay, can we lock that thought in? Verse 27, but thou art the same. So the Lord that laid the foundation of the earth still the same today. Hebrews chapter 1. Again, trying to lock in those maybe unfamiliar Psalms. Hebrews chapter 1. And verse 10. And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thine hands. Verse 12. And as a vesture shalt thou fold them up, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. In our knowledge of the Scriptures, we know Hebrews is about an individual. We know Hebrews is about Jesus Christ being better than anything. And as we read in Psalm 102, it made reference to the Lord that he laid the foundations. And then we jump to Hebrews chapter 1, and it's referencing Christ in those same words. I'd like you to look at Isaiah chapter 40. We're going to look at some comparative verses, have one concluding thought, and then we'll be done tonight. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 3. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 3. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the... What's that word? Lord. Capital L-O-R-D. Yes? Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Do these words sound familiar? Yes. Normally we are reading them somewhere else. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. Remember what God said about His glory? I don't share it. In verse 5, it says, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. He wasn't sharing it. He was simply expressing it. Say, what does that mean? When Jesus Christ showed up, that was all the glory of God right there. Say, in addition to God, as is. Jehovah God. Luke chapter 3. In the 15th year, verse 1, we're going to read 1 through 6. Now in the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, Pontius Pilate being governor of Judea, and Herod being tetrarch of Galilee, and his brother Philip tetrarch of Iturea, and of the region of Trachonitis. There's reasons that we don't go to Luke 3 often. And Lysanias, the tetrarch of Abilene there. Annas and Caiaphas, being the high priest, the word of God came unto John, the son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. And he came into the country about Jordan, preaching the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, making His path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be brought low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough shall be made smooth, and all the flesh shall see the salvation of God. Jesus Christ. Go with me to John chapter 4. In verse 24, God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. And the woman said unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When He is come, He will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, listen to what He says. I that speak unto thee am He. It just sounds like Exodus chapter 3. You can almost see Moses standing by. I am. I am He. John chapter 8. In verse 52. Then said the Jews unto him, now we know that thou hast the devil. Abraham is dead and the prophets, and thou sayest, if a man keep my saying, he shall never taste of death. Art thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead? And the prophets are dead, whom makest thou thyself? Jesus answered, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom ye say that He is your God. Ooh, strong words. Yet ye have not known Him, but I know Him. And if I should say I know Him not, I shall be a liar like unto you. But I know Him, and keep His saying. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Then said the Jews unto him, thou art not yet 50 years old, and thou hast seen Abraham? Hold on. Verse 58. Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. How they respond to that? Then took they up stones to cast at him. Why? Because he just committed, he just said he was Jehovah. They were going to kill him right there. John chapter 10. Anybody ever have the privilege of talking to a Jehovah Witness? I always take them to John chapter 1 and verse 30. Jesus speaking, I and my Father are one. They can't get these two words out fast enough. In purpose. That's in purpose. It says it in their lie. It's not a Bible. Jesus says, I and my Father are one. And they said in purpose. So then I read verse 31 and I ask the question. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Why did they try and kill him then? Because he just said, him and Jehovah, because God doesn't share glory. It was all there that day. And John, in the book of John, he calls himself, can we look at this real quick? How are your fingers feeling? All right, I want to show you something. John chapter 6. And then we'll end, I think. Yeah, this is it. We're going to look at these things and then we'll be done. And we'll not back and forth. John chapter 6 and verse 35. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. Go to John chapter 8. John chapter 8 and verse 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. Go to John chapter 10 and verse 9. John 10, 9. I am the door, he says. John chapter 10 and verse 11. I am the good shepherd. John chapter 10 and verse 36. Say ye of him whom the Father has sanctified and sent unto him the world, thou blasphemest, because I said, I am the Son of God. John chapter 11, verse 25. Jesus said unto him, I am the resurrection and the life. John chapter 14 and verse 6. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. John chapter 15 and verse 1. I am. Tell me in your Bible. I am is all capital in mine. Lord, I can't even look at you. My shoes are off. You're holy. You're righteous. You're the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and Jacob. You just told me that. I'm to go to Israel, and I'm trying to, and you said you're going to deliver them. Who do I say sent me? I am. The most holy name that you could say. The connection between Jehovah and Christ is beautiful and powerful. I know why I'm not a Jehovah Witness. That's why right there. Because I believe that Jesus Christ not was, not will be, but is God. The self-existent one. God is holy. He hates sin but loves sinners. He's jealous. And he has every right to be. The self-existent one has been, always is, and always will be. Let's stand. Do a word study on Jehovah. All 6,700 and, sometimes. Say, I want to learn about the Lord. All right, do that. Look it up. Study him. Some of you are in college, studying hard all the parts of our body to be able to help people and save their life. As Christians, how much time do we study and invest in learning on our God? Well, Sunday morning at 10 o'clock, that's why we have you. There should be a connection between his creation and him. It's personal. Heavenly Father, we thank you for tonight. We thank you that you, who you are, Lord God, we love you. We know that we sin, and we know that you hate our sin. Somehow you're able to separate that and love us. Romans chapter 5 says it. You commendeth your love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, you died for us. Lord, our desire is to get closer to thee. Lord, may this just wet our palate for a deeper knowledge, a deeper study, a deeper relationship with you. Lord, I pray you'd watch over us now, protect us as we travel home. Lord, I pray that you'd bring us back safely Thursday with the intention of just like those wise kings of the East coming to worship you. Thank you for who you are. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Before we leave, can we sing a song? I feel like we should sing a song. Can we do that?